Well, it sounds like a lot of you all have been busy. I've been busy as well. It's been a busy week doing marriage counseling for Kyle and Nikki. It takes up a lot of your time, but, you know, somebody's got to do it. I'm just kidding. All right, well, tonight I get the privilege of talking to you about evangelism, and our theme is going to be Big God Using Little People. But before I begin, I'd love to pray and just ask God to speak to us tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you are a big God. God, just as Lee and Jacob and everybody else has said, God, that there is no one like you in all the earth. God, that no deeds can compare with yours. God, that you do as you please in the heavens and on the earth. God, in the seas and all their depths. God, and we thank you, God, that you have called us your children and allow us to work alongside you in your great work. And so tonight, God, I pray that your words, God, would bear fruit in our heart, God, that we would hear, God, and that we would want to follow you, God, with all of our heart, our soul, and our mind. And so thank you tonight, God, and I pray that you would teach me, God, even as I talk, and God, that I would just be drawn to you. In your name I pray. Amen. All right. Well, as you can see, tonight's theme is Big God and Little People Using Little People for His Glory. Sorry about that. And I wanted to just kind of continue off the theme of the conference where Jude talked about being a big God, and he talked about if we really believe that God is big, then we're going to pray big prayers, and we're going to take big risks and just follow hard after God. And some people might even end up calling us dangerous. And so I wanted to talk tonight about how a big view of God will affect the way that we view other people and how we share our faith. And so tonight I wanted to just start off by sharing a couple God stories from my life and how God has used me, a little person, in ways that I didn't even expect to happen. And I went to Africa this summer. I think most of you know that. I got a picture here. This is me and a camel. I didn't get to ride it, and it didn't spit on me, but I thought I'd show you a couple pictures from Africa. But it's pretty awesome. We're like driving down the side. There's what country? It's called Djibouti. It was awesome. All right. Yeah. Mouse worked for one slide. All right. Another picture. Here's Amaris. Is Amaris here tonight? We went over to Africa this summer and got to teach people English. On the next slide. That was Kadir, one of my friends. And here we were teaching English as a second language to some of the kids there. They range in age, and so that was fun. All right. And then this is just a picture of downtown. So I wanted to give you a picture a little bit what Africa was like. But the story goes, go to the next slide. Okay, the story is from the trip back. So this trip back was pretty wild. All right, I started in Africa. We take a plane to Dubai. That's kind of the first leg of the trip. We're starting over here on the right. And then we go to London. We miss our flight in London. That was a bigger deal. We were actually running to the airplane. Got there. We were too late. So we got put up in a hotel that night, missed our flight. So then we were supposed to fly straight back to Denver. Then we had to be routed through Miami. And then so it was Miami, Denver, and then I had a family reunion in Iowa. So it was a pretty long trip. But at the end of the trip, God did some really cool things, and I just wanted to share a couple of those with you. The first story I want to share with you tonight is on the train ride. I took a train. I got in Denver. I flew back. I spent a night in Denver. Then I took a train from Denver to Iowa. And I don't know if y'all have ever taken a train, but it's pretty adventurous. I had a great time. Didn't get a lot of sleep. It was a 16-hour train ride. From Denver, we left at midnight. Denver, the train was about four hours behind. I was supposed to leave at 8 o'clock that night, left at midnight, ride there at 4 o'clock the next day. So one cool thing about at least Amtrak, I don't know if it's on all train rides or if there isn't even other trains besides Amtrak, but is they have a scenic car, okay? And so you have different types of car. You have the regular cars where you're sitting. Then you have, like, the sleepers where you actually kind of have, like, a bunk and a bathroom and stuff like that. And then there's like a scenic car, and it's really cool. It's like two decks. And the bottom deck is where you can get your food and snacks like that. And then the top deck, all the seats are facing the windows, and all the top, the whole top of the car is like all windows, and all the seats are either facing this side of windows or this side of windows. And it was really cool. And so I would just go out there, and you know, you're watching corn go by for about 4 hours of that trip. It's very exciting. It was actually really beautiful. That was one of my favorite parts about the train. All right. But so, and the, another cool thing about riding a train is you always meet interesting people, and they'll talk to you. Like, I'm just sitting there reading or just looking out the window, and they'll start talking to me. I met this one couple who was from Germany, and they were literally taking a train and boat all the way around the world. And so they had started in Germany. They had taken a train all the way through Russia, and they had gotten on a boat and taken it to, like, Hawaii and then California, and were taking a train. So there's wild people. And I'm sitting there. I'm kind of tired. I've still got jet lag from the trip coming back from Africa. I'm kind of tired, a little bit out of it. But I get my Bible out, and I start to read. And so I'm just reading on the train. And this one guy comes and sits, like, over here. And he's like, "It's like, what you reading?" And I'm like, "Well, I'm reading the Bible." And he's like, "That's cool." And then he goes on to say, "Well, what type of church are you involved in?" And so I kind of give him a little bit of my spiritual background, and I say, "Well, how about yourself? What kind of church are you involved in?" And he says, you know, like, I don't know what he says, like Lutheran or something like that. And so I just go back to reading my Bible. I'm kind of tired at this point. I mean, probably honestly in my heart I'm thinking like, Lord, I just want to read my Bible, and I don't want to talk to people. At that point I was like exhausted. I think I really felt that way. For most of the plane ride back, I'm like, I don't want to interact with people. I'm like, really dead. Okay, so I'm sitting, so I go back to doing what I'm doing. And we basically interact with each other for a while that afternoon. And he keeps going downstairs. He's get a beer. He come back up, and we start talking again. And then I can't remember all the conversation. But the really cool thing about it to me is I remember at some point he asked me, he said, "So what do you believe?" And I remember sitting there and thinking, I'm like, wow. I was like, I can't believe this guy just asked me that. I mean, he's basically just asking me, you know, to tell him what I believe. And I said, you know, I said, "Are you really interested in, you know, hearing what I believe?" And he said, "Yeah, I'd love to hear what you believe." And so I get on the train and I get out a piece of paper. And so I just get out and I start sharing the bridge diagram with him, which is just an illustration about the gospel and what God's done in our life. And he starts telling me his background and how he's going to visit his daughter and how he had been drilling holes for natural air pipelines out in the West, and he had raised up enough money to where he could come back and see his daughter, and all these things were going on in his life. And so we were having this really cool conversation, and he seemed really interested. He didn't become a Christian, but I ended up giving him my Bible. And for me, that was just so encouraging. I can't remember all the details of it, but I just remember, and that was actually the second conversation, crazy conversation that I've had. The first one happened on the way from Miami to Denver, but I remember just thinking, I was like, wow, God. I was like, I didn't even want to talk to this person, but you placed this person next to me, and he wanted to talk to me, and he initiated with me. And asked me, you know, what I believe. And I was just, man, that is cool. That God, just like the verse that Drew used that this week, and he says, Ephesians 2:10, where he says that God has created good works in advance for us to walk into. And that's the first story of kind of how God, the big God, showed up in my life and said, Luke, you know, you're nothing that special. It's like, but I want to use you in my kingdom. And the second story that I want to share with you, and a lot of you probably already know this one, is just last year. Go next slide, I think. Anybody know who this is? Sean. Last year I had the privilege of meeting Sean. Most of y'all know Sean. He's a good friend of mine. I enjoy hanging out with him a lot. And this is just another God story about how there's a big God out there, and he loves you, and he loves me, and he wants to use little people for his glory. And me and one of my friends, Ross, which is Kyle's brother, he lived in Smith, and we were hanging out, and we decided to do a spiritual discussion group on their hall. And so we had started it up. I think it had gone a couple weeks. And so we go in there. I think we usually ate beforehand. And then we talked about the Bible a little bit. And then I remember the first week that Sean came. And I didn't even invite him. I was like, wow, cool. I was like, I'd met him before. And I was like, man, okay, Sean's coming to a spiritual discussion group. I'm like, that's great. And I remember we come in and reread John 1. And we're talking, different people are sharing their thoughts. And I remember the first thought that Sean shared, you know, he said, what do y'all think about John 1? And he said something like, he read John 1, 5. He said, I felt like when we read John 5, he said, I felt like that was me. And it says something like, the light has shone in the darkness. He says, but the darkness has not understood it. And then I remember he went on to say, he said, I feel like I'm in a grocery store or something like that, and I hear music playing. And he says, I don't know what it is. He says, but I want to know. And that was the first time that he came to the spiritual discussion group. And I remember, you know, both Ross and I were like blown away. It's like, here's a guy who I didn't even know that well, who I hadn't invited to even come. But God brought him. He came. He told us that he'd been reading the Bible. He had this Bible that his grandfather would read him, and that God had already been working in his heart, you know, before we even begin to become close friends. And then a couple months later, he was at a night like this. We were having praise and worship, and he became a Christian. And that's just awesome. And to me, that is just another story that there's a big God out there that wants to use people, and that he's already working beforehand. There's people that maybe you've never met, you know, you'll meet someday, that God wants you to use you to be the biggest blessing of their life. And so I just think that's so cool, and I hope that those stories give you encouragement, man, that God is big and that he can do anything and that he's already working, and he just wants you to partner with him in the work that he's doing. And so I think that's awesome for us to rejoice in. There's a verse in Matthew that said that that the kingdom of God is advancing forcefully, and forceful men take hold of it. And I really believe that's true, that God's kingdom is advancing, and he wants us to be a part of it. And so tonight, we're going to talk basically about evangelism. We're going to talk about why is it important for a follower of Christ. And then we're going to talk about some practical steps. And so I hope that God begins giving you stories in your life of just him working things more than you can ask or imagine. So the first part is, what is evangelism? Go to the next slide here. One more. Okay. And I just give a simple definition here. This is not the only definition. There's not only one way to think about it, but I just framed it like this. It's the process of proclaiming the good news of Jesus everywhere you go for the glory of God. The process of proclaiming the good news of Jesus everywhere you go for the glory of God. It's pretty simple. Okay? But I also like to define it like this. And that was, God really put this on my heart this weekend. In more simple terms, is evangelism is sharing the best thing that you have with other people. I was sitting there one morning at the conference, and I was just really thinking, you know what evangelism is? Evangelism is sharing the best thing that you have with other people. And if Jesus Christ isn't the best thing in your life, then you'll never share it with him. If he's only a side item, if he's only something that means just a little bit to him, you're never going to be excited about sharing him. But if Jesus Christ is the best thing in your life, nobody can stop you. And one thing that came to my mind when I was thinking about it is this girl I met one summer. And I remember she had just became a Christian. Her name was Dusty for 1 month. She was involved in a sorority, had just gotten off drugs, had a crazy family life. I remember one morning I rode to church with Dusty. Dusty shared her testimony with me for about 30 minutes, just crying. Couldn't believe that God would come into her life and give her a new life. And man, God and Jesus were the best thing in Dusty's life. She couldn't stop talking about him. We spent the summer together at a summer training program. I remember she would always come back. She'd be like, I shared with this person today. She was a Spanish major. She would go out and talk to Mexicans. And it just brought joy to her heart because Jesus Christ was the best thing to her. And she couldn't stop talking about him. And so that's kind of the way I frame evangelism in my mind. If he really has given you life, true life, that's the best thing that I have, why wouldn't you share with other people? So that's a short definition of evangelism. Now we're going to kind of move on to why should evangelism be an important part of being a follower of Christ. And so my first thought on that, turn to Psalm 67. And the first point for why it's important as a follower of Christ is to glorify God. I'm going to talk about another verse before Psalm 67, but as you're turning, Genesis 1:26 says that we've been created in the image of God, in His likeness. And so before sin ever entered in the world, part of God's plan is that His image would be in all the earth, that if man had never sinned, that they would just continue to multiply, to procreate, and that God's image, the greatest image of all, would just be multiplied throughout the whole earth. And that's part of God's plan. And Psalm 67 talks about that. Can somebody read that really loud? All of it. It's pretty short. Thank you. Very good. And one of the verses there that I really like says, I think it's verse 4, it says, I think it's 3, may all the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. And I pray that in my life and in your life, that would be a theme of why you would want to share with other people, is that may all the peoples of the earth know the greatest God that there is, that He is worthy for all the people in all the earth to bow down, to praise, to say that you are the one true God, and that you are awesome to worship. And so I think that is a central motivation in God's heart. That is His desire that He would be glorified in all the earth. And so for us to be a part of that. One is to glorify God. The second one is to be obedient. Okay? And this verse is 2 Corinthians 5, 18 through 21, to be obedient. I'm going to grab my Bible real quick. This is my staple verse when it comes to thinking about God's calling in my life. I really love it. Starting with verse 18, it says, "And all this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." And the word reconcile there means to make an enemy a friend. And so it's bringing together, okay? That God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. And for me, that's just a clear verse on God's calling my life, at least one part, is that He has committed to me the message of reconciliation. And He goes on to explain it farther. It says, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors." I think Dave talked about this last week, that we're Christ's representative. I love this next part. It says, "As though God were making His appeal through us." And to me, that's just a cool verse, that God could have done it any way he wanted to, but yet that he has chosen to make his appeal to share the greatest love story of all through us, that he wants to make his appeal through you and through me. We implore you, we beg you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And so the second part of why this should be an important aspect for our life is just that we're obedient, that God has committed it to us, and that he wants to make his appeal through us. The third point is that discipleship begins and ends in evangelism. Okay, and some of you may ask, what does that mean? And what I mean by that is that if evangelism wasn't a part of our discipleship, then all the Christians in the world would die off. For instance, if all I did was found another Christian and discipled them and told them to find another person who's a Christian and disciple them, and that train just continued, then all we would be doing is helping other Christians and nobody else would become Christians. And when we died, nobody would be left. And so I think that discipleship begins and ends with evangelism, that we've been, when we begin with it, and it ends, what I mean by ends with it is that we train those we disciple to do it. And so if we aren't doing it, then God's glory will not go throughout the earth and Christians will just die off. So discipleship begins and ends with evangelism. Fourth idea is that it can be a catalyst for spiritual growth. Evangelism is one of those things that reminds me of all the right things. I don't know if you've ever talked to a person before. I remember going to the mall one time when I was on a summer training program, and we were talking to these two guys that were in the military recon, I think Marine recon or something like that. And I remember going in, I was having a bad day. I was like, I really don't want to do this. My heart just wasn't there. And I remember talking to these people. I remember walking away, and my heart was just broken. Man, and it just reminded me that life is short, that people are dying, and really challenged me on what I was giving my life to. So I think it reminds me of all the right things. It reminds me that my life is short. It gives me an internal perspective. I think it also forces me to know God's word. Kyle and I had some Jehovah's Witnesses come to our house last semester, and they came like three or four times. And every time we would talk to them, it would make me want to get in the word. I remember me and Kyle would be asking each other's questions. Well, what do you think about this? You know, and they would be challenging this aspect of our faith and that aspect. And man, I just remember I would just be digging in the scripture after that, and that God would just use it for my love of the word. And I would also say that it makes fellowship sweet as well. It's kind of like if you're in the army and you go out to the battlefield, it makes seeing your family and your friends that much more sweet after being in the battle for God. So I think those are some reasons it can be a catalyst for spiritual growth. It's been so beneficial in my own life to remind me of what's worth living for. And so I think those are some reasons why evangelism is to be an important part of our life. Next, we're going to talk about where do we start. So we know that God has committed to us this message. We know why it's important. But how does that practically play out in our life? And I just want to give you three thoughts on what that looks like. And I got this from a church, so it's not an original thought. But where to start is praying, caring, and sharing. Okay, it's kind of an acronym, praying, caring, and sharing. Easy place to start. Turn in your Bibles to Romans 10. Romans 10:1. Romans 10:1 says, "Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved." And here you get just a glimpse of Paul's heart for the for his own people, the Israelites. And he says, brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites. And so I think a great place to start is just praying for people that you care about, whether it's your own family, whether it's your friends, people in your class. Man, that if Jesus Christ is the best thing that you have and that you want them to have the best thing, that would be the only loving thing to do, would be to pray and say, God, would you work in their heart? God, would you give me an opportunity to tell them the greatest thing that has happened to me? I think Colossians 4, if you want to turn there with me too, it's another great passage on prayer. This is a great one to ask people to pray for you or to pray for yourself. Colossians 4, 2 through 4 says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. And so I think that those are two great prayers that you can follow and pray for your own in your own life. And so I just challenge you tonight that if you're not praying, just make a list of people that you care about and want to pray for. And maybe pray with your roommates at night. The second part is caring. Turn just a little bit over there to 1 Thessalonians 2. Just a couple pages over, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians. All right. 2:7-8 says, but we were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her little children. We love you so much that we were delighted not only to share the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us. And so here's a picture of Paul as he's going to these Thessalonians, and that they had become so dear to him, that they had become people that were maybe even like his best friends, that he delighted to share not only the good news of Christ, but his life as well, that he thought about them, that he cared for them. And I think that's a great next step for all of us, is how can we begin to care for people around us? You know, it may look like helping someone with their homework. It may look like taking someone to Walmart. You know, it could just be being their friend. It can look many different ways. But just what is a good next step for you to just care for those around you? And that's just by building a friendship. Maybe it's just by building a friendship, doing the things that they enjoy. So praying, caring, and then the third part is sharing. And I just wanted to give you five thoughts on taking the next step in sharing your faith. So praying, caring, and sharing. All right. Well, three of them are up there already. The first one is be devoted to knowing God. Be devoted to knowing God. And I think that if you are devoted to knowing God, that it's only going to be an overflow of your life. You know, people talk about the things that they really enjoy. You know, people always know that I'm talking about food. You know, I love food. My mom's a great cook. I eat all the time. I love Cashy. I've got like 5 boxes of cereal on top of my fridge. So I love to talk about food. But I would hope that if you aren't developing a relationship with God, then your desire to share is going to be minimal. And that's what I see is the biggest hindrance. One of the biggest hindrances for people sharing is that they're just not living an intimate life with God. And so they have no passion to die to self and go do something that is challenging. John 15:5 says that if you remain in me and I remain in you, you will bear much fruit. And he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. And so to me, that just gives a picture, man, if I remain in God, God's going to bear fruit through my life. He's going to use that. And that's a promise that you can begin praying. So a great next step for you, if you really want to become a follower of Christ that just shares with people the love of God, be devoted to knowing God. Daniel 11:32b in the NAS says, those who know their God will display strength and take action. Those who know their God will display strength and take action. So a great next step for you if you're not taking time to read the Bible and meditate on a regular basis and talk to God, that'd be a great next step for you to really commit to doing that. Secondly, I put you learn the most by watching others and then just doing it. And I think that's very true. As I was thinking about, you know, what can I do to encourage you all and myself to take the next step, I think you learn the most by watching other people and by just going out there and doing it. And I think that's the way I learned. I remember going to my first summer training program, and every Saturday we would go out to the beach. We'd do some big crazy event like tug of war. I remember we did Fear Factor one time, and I had to drink like a half gallon of whole milk, and that was terrible. But we would go out there and talk to people. And I remember every time we went out there, I was scared. And I went back my second year, and every time I went out there, I was scared to talk to people. And, you know, sometimes I still am. You know, it still is fear, but I really love this quote here, and it says, courage is not the absence of fear. It is in the presence of fear, yet the will to go on. And so for me, it's a reminder that my expectation should be that I will never have fear, but in the midst of fear, I'll say, God, you're bigger than that fear. And so I encourage you, if there's someone that you see is sharing their faith, to get around them and just to watch them and to learn from them and just to do it. It's kind of like one of those things they say, if you're learning a new language, the best way to learn is by failure, is just by trying it. And sometimes that's true. The third point is pick a tool and practice it a lot. Pick a tool and practice a lot. Why do I say that? Because a tool is really simple. You know, sometimes before I had a tool, now I try to share the bridge diagram, which I think is just a really simple tool. It's a picture that people see that can help them connect the dots. And the word is involved in that. But the reason I like a tool is it's simple, and it gives me a framework for understanding the gospel. Before that, I was kind of like, well, what do I share? Do I share this? Do I share that? And I think, you know, now it gives me a simple way to do it. And so if you are not familiar with the bridge diagram and would like to learn it, we have a sign-up sheet in the back, and we would love to help you either by doing a seminar or by just individually coming to you and say, hey, we'd love to share with you a simple tool that you can use to share with other people. Okay? Number four is study the gospel and know it well. Study the gospel and know it well. You know, the more that I began on this journey, the more that it challenged me to study the gospel and know it well. You know, all kinds of questions come up when you're sharing. You know, do I have to share about the resurrection of Christ or don't I? Is it repentance and faith, you know, or just faith? All these things. Do I need to share about God's love and justice? All these things. And I think I wrote four simple points that kind of encapsulize the gospel. And they are, the first one is, who is God? And I wrote a reference up there. It talks about God being extremely loving, compassionate, and yet just. The second one is who we are. This is Romans 3:23, where it talks about, for all have sinned, fall short of the glory of God. Who Christ is and what he did. And then the last part, there is our response. And so if the gospel's not something that you've studied before, I think there's no greater pursuit than to know the gospel, the greatest message of all. Okay, so who God is, who we are, who Christ is, and our response. Okay, the fifth tip for sharing is take your next big risk. Take your next big risk. And for many of you, that could mean many different things. I hope, Caleb, you don't mind me sharing about you either. But I wanted to just share a story of just Caleb and the things that he has shared with me and how that's been encouragement to my life, and just seeing him taking a risk in his life. And, you know, Caleb and I were eating lunch one day last semester, and we were talking about lots of different things, and I was like, you know, Caleb, I was like, he was talking about, like, what his hall's like. I was asking about his roommate, you know, what his roommate's like, and, you know, I was like, Caleb, well, have you met the guys in your hall? And he's like, yeah. He's like, I see him. I don't get to see him too often. He's like, you know, they're always playing video games. And I was like, no, that sounds like a typical college student. You know, and he's like, and I don't really like to play video games. And I'm like, I mean, there's certain things you don't like and there's certain things you do. So I can't necessarily fault him there. But, and I was like, no, well, have you ever thought about playing video games with them? And he's like, yeah. He's like, no, I really don't like it. But, you know, I don't know exactly what he said. He may have said, you know, that may be an idea or whatnot. And so Caleb comes back this semester. We're talking one night, and he's like, I started playing video games with the guys in my hall. I'm like, really? You know, this is kind of like, or I think we're driving back one night. I'm like, cool, that's awesome. I'm like, how's it going? He's like, I'm really enjoying it. It's been fun. I'm getting to know him. And so he's like, you know, I think I'd really like to do a spiritual discussion group. You know, I'd like to just to get together with the guys in my hall and see, you know, what they think about spiritual things. And I was like, yeah, man, that'd be great. And so then this week on Tuesday, Caleb and I are hanging out in his dorm. We see some of the guys. We talk to them for a little bit. They go and they cook supper, and then they come back, and we're about to leave. And then I don't remember what the guy's name was. Josh? Okay. Then Josh, me and Caleb are leaving, and then Josh turns on and says, hey, Caleb. He goes, when are we doing that spiritual discussion group thing? And then Caleb's like, well, you know, maybe next week, you know, or the week after that. And I just thought that was so cool because, you know, it wasn't even something that we had initiated. You know, Caleb had kind of been talking to him about it, but it was something that they really wanted. You know, and Caleb's like, well, most of the people I've talked to seem like they want to do this. And, you know, those two guys were excited about it. They were like, man, yeah, we're excited about it. You know, we love talking about philosophy and all that kind of stuff. And so, yeah, we're excited when this is going to happen. And so, you know, Lord willing, that's going to happen next week. And so that's just an encouraging story about just stepping out there, taking your next risk. Maybe the next risk for you is just to say hello, like Dave talked about, to say hello to the people around you. You know, maybe to your neighbor, to the people in your class, to whoever it may be, to people you sit next to on the bus, is just to say hello. Maybe the next big risk is for you to build a friendship with somebody that you know their name but don't know anything about them. Or maybe the next big risk is for you, someone that you've known for a long time that you're really good friends with, to just go up to them and say, you know, man, I'd love to share with you something that has really changed my life. You know, do you mind if I share this with you? Do you mind if I tell you, you know, what God has done in my life? And they may say no, they may say yes. You know, I don't know. But tonight, I just want to challenge you to take your next big risk. And one thing that I was going to challenge you to do, and this is a simple application, maybe challenging, is I want to challenge you to take one night a week for the next month and say, if I have any free time during this night, that I'm going to love people to the best of my ability, and I'm going to try to be a light for God. And I know that's maybe hard for some of you. I mean, that stepping out of your comfort zone. I know there's a lot of things that may be easier to do, but I really want to challenge you. Maybe it's every Saturday night, I'm going to go. And if I have any free time on Saturday night, I'm going to go and I'm going to love people with all I got. And I'm going to share with them the best thing that has ever happened to me. And you may never know, the next conversation that you have may change the direction of someone's life for the rest of their life. And so I want to challenge you, and I want you to challenge me and ask me if I'm doing that. And so I'm going to pray for us. Remember, if you are interested in learning the bridge, sign up in the back. Thank you. Father, thanks so much, God, that you would, God, I just think about you coming down to earth. God, that you loved us so much. God, that you came down to the earth. God, you took the form of a man. God, that you were mocked. God, that you were beaten. God, that people hated you. God, and you did that so that I could have life. God, and I'm amazed, God, that you do that. God, forgive me for being selfish with what you've given me. God, and I just pray that our hearts would love you so much and would be thankful, God, that it would just be the expression of our life. God, that we couldn't hold it in. So, God, I pray and ask it for my own life, God, that I need help. And I ask it for everyone here tonight. Thank you, God. In your name I pray. Amen.